Hello, I'm Nigel Hellyer, and you are listening to The Transmuted Signal. Hi, I'm Nigel Hellyer, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in a very small village on the south coast of England in Sussex, a fishing village, farming village. Nothing particular about the place, except it had two buildings that I remember very clearly. One was the home of William Blake, the poet, and the other little cottage was called Comet Cottage, named after Halley's Comet. It was also lived in by another poet, and coincidentally also called Halley, no relation. As a consequence, I grew up in a sort of subconscious way in a world which embraced ideas of poetics and techniques, arts and sciences, and I think that's really informed my practice as an artist ever since. And to this day, I actually operate across the arts and the sciences. In terms of my formation as an artist, I studied in the early 70s, did a sculpture honours degree, Liverpool College of the Arts up north, and that was followed by 3 years research at the Royal College in a strange department called Environmental Media. That meant I spent most of my time making installations with audio and video, rather primitive early video. I soon became video phobic, and that left me with audio and architecture, basically, both of them very spatial phenomena, if you like, and I've continued really in that vein ever since. Subsequently, in fact, many years later, I studied for a doctorate at the University of Technology in Sydney, where my research revolved around the relationships between the body, sound, architectural space, and memory. And to bring us up to date, most of my recent work falls across the arts and sciences, a lot of art and science collaborations, and in particular, the life sciences, so a lot of art and environment, art and ecology projects, which I'm involved in sonifying aspects of both the physical environment, the kind of biology and ecology, but also the social environment, the cultural environment, the history and the ideology of sites. So forming very complex mappings and memory spaces. That's enough about me. Okay, the project Ars Memoria Mexicana. How did I start? How did I start with that image? Well, in a sense, I think when I first looked at it, nothing much really happened. I was waiting for a while for it to ferment, if you like, in my consciousness. And then two things struck me. I've always been rather a nomadic person at the age of 16, and took myself off to North Africa from England and found I could hitchhike there in a week. And on my trips there, I used to collect very small, extremely cheap, little framed icons. They were basically bits of cardboard with images taped onto a piece of glass with brown packing tape. And I've collected a series of these, and they travel with me. They tend to be hung in anywhere I live. They're my kind of means of inhabiting a space. And one of the first ones I bought was an image of the hand outstretched to ward off the evil eye. I've carried that around with me for probably 40 years. And so I formed that association, that memory link with almost a personal habit. And the second strong association, also connected to travels, was I had spent quite a lot of time traveling in Mexico and recording. And I recall very, very strongly seeing a blind guitarist leaning against a wall, playing his beaten-up guitar with his rather beaten-up voice. But behind him, the outstretched hand of I suppose it was an astrologer or a psychic's sign. It looked very, very similar to the image that I was sent for the Transmuted Signal project. And so that was my point of entry. I decided that was how I would interpret the image. I would use that strong kind of internal association to take myself onto a memory journey into my travels in Latin America. And there are many other images of hands of clapping and rhythmic hand clapping images in the sound itself. But I had quite an archive of material that I'd never used and never really had any structured thoughts about until that transmuted image popped up and sort of, in a sense, opened a doorway into that material. So that was really the point of entry. The image painted on the wall behind the guitarist was in a side street in Oaxaca. And this is a city in Mexico that had fairly recently undergone quite serious political unrest. And in a kind of synergetic way, that political unrest had combined very powerfully with an amazing graphical painterly tradition in the city. And the whole city basically had been covered in very large and extremely beautifully executed political cartoons and murals, which the city was at pains to obliterate as fast as possible. But so for me, having trained as a visual artist with a strong attachment to sound, this relationship between image and audio is maintained throughout the city of Oaxaca because it's not only a very strong visual tradition and very kind of connected to politics and ideology and in a sense to memory, but also this is combined with highly musicalized public spaces. So there is nowhere in a street where you can't hear music or singing or dancing. It's so a fantastic kind of synergy between the two. So in terms of methods used in the work to kind of weave a narrative, I did concentrate on this idea of how sound can be an associative key to unlock memory. And to that effect, I interviewed people at various times about their relationship between their own personal memories and a strong associative sound that led them to that memory, that unlocked that memory, and all the associated issues with other people involved, the site, so on and so forth. So I've got a strong belief that sound is rather like the olfactory senses, one of these subconscious ways of unlocking memory. This is sort of backed up in a sense by my interest in the classical theatre of memory, the Ars Memoria, in which orators would imagine like a virtual walk through an architectural space in order to memorize large blocks of text. An orator would enter a building in their imagination, this is, and place an object by a statue, associate a block of text, walk onto another architectural feature, memorize another text in association with that space, and so on and so forth. And when they were on the podium delivering their address, they would simply recreate that journey in their mind and pull out the text one after another. And in English, we even have a vestige of that method. We will say in the first place, in the second place. And that comes directly from the technique of Ars Memoria. So I'm seeing some of my travels and some of my interviews and some of my ambient recordings are associated very, very strongly with the place in which the recording was made. The images which were in the environment, for instance, we'll go back to the actual transmuted signal image of the hand, go back to that street in Oaxaca with the sign of the psychic behind the guitarist. And so for me now, when I look at the transmuted image icon, if you like, of that hand, I really don't see the hand anymore. I see the guitarist and I hear him playing. It's this idea of forming these sort of synaptic connections, growing memory and growing the connections which forms memory, and doing that in this way which synthesizes sound, image, some olfactory stuff, certainly a kind of spatial or even cartographic sense of how these things stitch together. So I hope that makes some kind of sense. And this is Nigel Hellyer signing off, and I hope you enjoy the work Ars Memoria Mexicana.